Last week, the infamous Guantanamo Bay detention camp reached its 21st year of operation. The prison was opened January 11, 2002 to hold suspected terrorists captured overseas during the United States War on Terror to interrogate detainees and prosecute them for war crimes. And since then, it has been a source of much controversy over human rights violations, unacceptable methods of interrogation, and for holding some people indefinitely without trial or charges. It costs an estimated $13 million per prisoner per year, making it the most expensive detention program in the world. There have been calls to close the prison for two decades now, and they've been growing. The New York Times' Carol Rosenberg is considered the authority on the facility. She's covered it since it opened. And Carol joins me now for the latest on Guantanamo Bay. Carol, thank you for your time.
Thank you for the invitation.
Now, Carol, multiple presidents, including Obama and Biden, even President Bush, have all wanted to close Guantanamo. Here's a very simple but very big question. Why is it still open?
The short version is Congress. President Obama had decided he wanted to close it. And after some considerable study, he realized that closing Guantanamo meant closing the detention center in Cuba, but keeping Guantanamo as a concept and moving the prisoners north to the United States. So, yes, there was a movement that went on for quite a while to try to downsize and reduce the population down there. But in the end, the solution was going to be closing that detention operation down on the U.S. base in Cuba and moving a certain number of prisoners to Guantanamo North. And when Congress heard about it, they've issued a series of annual legislation that prevented the transfer of detainees from Guantanamo to the United States for any reason.
So what is the state of the facility these days, and how many people are still held there?
So the facility is a base within the base at Guantanamo Bay, which is a U.S. Navy base, and it's many buildings showing the evolution of the detention center. You know, I should say that across the years, 780 men and boys were held there. George Bush brought them all in. His administration brought all of them in. And the evolution involved building prison after prison and facility after facility. At this point, there are now 35 men living in three separate facilities, all proximate to each other. But there's a giant infrastructure that goes with it. There are 1,000 troops and civil servants who are assigned to that zone and that detention operation. So, yes, a very small number of prisoners, but actually a kind of a big sprawling operation.
Now, one of the biggest critiques of Gitmo, along with the human rights violations, is the cost of keeping it open. And it's your reporting that gave us this $13 million per year figure to hold each of the detainees left at the detention camp. That is an eye-popping amount. How much of a problem is this for the government?
I did this study a number of years ago, and I actually think the figure is probably larger at this point. We're trying to surface all of the costs. There are fewer prisoners now than when I did the crunch, and probably more expenses because of the move to contractors. But the point being, the cost argument hasn't gotten much traction. Guantanamo is a topic that people have settled their minds on a long time ago. Most of the people I meet don't even know that Guantanamo exists. They think that actually President Obama closed it a long time ago, and the annual rite of protest on the anniversaries of the opening of the prison, they've gotten smaller to a very core group of people, some of whom still put on their orange jumpsuits and go stand outside government sites to say it should be closed. But the real problem is it's very hard for people to imagine that place. And one reason is, even though I cover it full time, it's out of the news. The Trump administration managed to shut down all media access to the prison. I can no longer go inside that zone. You can no longer see photos of what's going on in there. We do get to cover the court proceedings, and we do get to see the prisoners who are charged. When the Bush administration opened that camp, they were very proud of it. And by the time of the Trump administration, the Pentagon and the military leadership saw no benefit in opening the gates to scrutiny or transparency. Unfortunately, I would say that it's only around the anniversaries when people remember that Guantanamo is there. I go down there all year long and write incrementally about these death penalty trials. But there's this sort of gosh moment that occurs on around January 11th when people say, we still have that prison and we still have prisoners there? How many?
Okay, so you make really good points about none of us really focusing on this anymore. You also point out that the money doesn't seem to affect us in keeping this open. What about the human rights violations and people being wrongfully detained? That was a big issue at some point. Is that still happening?
I think when you talk about human rights violations, you probably talk about the era of really violent, aggressive interrogations in which people were kept shackled to the floor, sometimes nude, sleep deprived, ice cold settings, or overheated interrogation boxes in the first years when the intelligence agency was very desperately, and maybe not with much sophistication, trying to find out where Osama bin Laden was and the nature of Al-Qaeda. Those interrogations have ended. And the human rights violations that I think people assert today are less of conditions, although there are complaints about conditions, and more of the idea that government can pick up somebody overseas, transport them halfway around the world to a cell in a U.S.-occupied portion of Cuba, and keep them indefinitely without trial. That just seems to be at odds with our understanding of due process and human rights.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you as we wrap up here, Carol, because not only have you reported on Guantanamo, you've actually followed those who were incarcerated there, and you followed up on three former Guantanamo prisoners most recently who actually defeated George W. Bush at the Supreme Court in a landmark case. And you chased this story all the way to another continent where you found two of them living a rather normal, though somewhat fractured, life in France and England. Can you tell us about them and what happened to them and where they are now?
Yes, I was really curious about the men whose name are on the Supreme Court cases, the landmark cases. And I got in touch with two of them. A third lived in Yemen, and it was just too dangerous for him to raise his head and talk to me. These three men have gone home to family lives. They're back with their wives. They're back with their kids. One of them has become a grandfather. As you pointed out, they are fractured lives, and it's not that they've forgotten Guantanamo, but they've moved on. The one in Yemen was the one who challenged the president's military commissions at the beginning, and the president can't create a court on his own, and won, but then was tried again and convicted. Another man was there for more than 2 years and never saw a lawyer, Shafiq Rasool. In his case, won the right for all the other prisoners who were still there after he was gone to see lawyers. It was incredibly important. And then the third man, he's an Uber driver in the south of France on the Riviera. He was from Algeria. He was handed over by the Bosnians in Sarajevo to the Americans on a suspicion that proved to be completely unfounded. A federal court in Washington ordered him released. And he couldn't go home to Algeria. He couldn't go back to Bosnia. So France agreed to take him in. He spent 7.5 years at Guantanamo, and he still can't quite let go the indignity and injustice of it all.
So, Carol, last thought. What will it take to close this prison?
I guess the recognition that closing Guantanamo means moving some of the prisoners north and holding them in some other form of detention. For people who say we must close Guantanamo, they imagine opening the gates and letting everybody out. But there are people there who are accused of war crimes and people there who are convicted of war crimes. And so America will be stuck with this operation for some time to come in one form or the other. Congress would have to lift its restrictions and these men would have to be moved north.
That's the New York Times' Carol Rosenberg reporting on Guantanamo Bay detention camp. We'll link to her latest article on those three former prisoners on our website, hereandnow.org. Carol, thank you for forcing us all to keep focusing on this.
Very kind of you. Thank you for including me.